Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 130. We're a foursome again. Chris had so much fun last week that he's back again. So joining us again is Chris.
Do you know what really pisses me off? People that answer their own questions. There we go. That was my attempt at humor. Have you got it yet, Bruce?
And yeah, oh no, yeah, I've gotten it. And I'm thinking, shit, I do that. Damn it. That's not what pisses me off. It's people who ask you for an opinion. Really want your opinion, and then do the exact opposite of what you advised them to do. It's like they just wanted your answer to match up with what they were already thinking.
Yeah.
I think that's right up there with answering your own questions. Also joining us this week, as he always does, is John.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And also joining us this week, or something to that effect, I don't know, I suck at intros, it's Glacinator.
Yep, back as usual.
You need to check out our WonderPod online Facebook because Glacinator's art career is getting off the ground, and it may not be the most symmetrical and orthodox stuff, but we love it.
It's great.
I actually based the model for that thing, whatever it is, off of the things from Pikmin.
Oh, yeah. Now I can see that.
Yeah, so just so you understand a little bit more.
I'm sure our audience loves us talking about visually medium type things when we're on an audio show. I know they always adore when we do shit like that.
Well, if you're by a computer, welcome. Just go to the WonderPod Facebook and check it out.
Exactly. Yeah. Thanks.
Plug.
Plug.
Exactly.
Plug.
Speaking of that, before we get into what we've been playing, one quick thing I did see. Actually, Penny Arcade did a comic on it. Have any of you seen the potential redesigns of Pac-Man on the Namco Bandai mm-hmm. Facebook page?
Oh god, I haven't seen it, but I dread to think.
I've seen them.
I'm gonna vote for number 4. Just to be a jackass. Number 4 looks like Salvador Dali painting.
I want to see this.
Either go to Penny Arcade and they have a link in their news post, or go to Namco or find Namco Bandai's Facebook site. Penny Arcade will be quicker. You gentlemen could be doing it. See, I've given you something to do while we're all doing what we've been playing. Since you've seen it, John, why don't you kick us off with what we've been playing?
All right. So after a few weeks of mostly iPhone games and last week's kind of break away from games to watch some wrestling, this week I decided that it was time to get Dead Space 2 done. And while I didn't finish the game, I am on the last chapter. I did get past that terrible, terrible choke point that I mentioned a few episodes ago, where I had two levels of walkways heading downstairs to a lower floor, and just waves upon waves of enemies. And so, all I want to talk about it is that it's the kind of scenario that kind of makes me that really pulls you out of the experience a bit. As much as I had to strategize and try to figure out, you know, take out this guy one at a, you know, each enemy one at a time, you know, get to a safe place, come back out, take down a few more. The way I had to do it had to utilize basically flaws in the game design, I guess, or I won't call it glitches, but basically, let me put it this way: I was behind a door, I'd open it, I'd walk about two steps in. And so then the necromorphs would start charging, and you hear the roar, and now they come and they start running at me. But if I backed up back into the room I was in and the door didn't close, I could see that the necromorphs would stop, turn around, go back into their little hiding spots or back into the vents that they crawled out of, that kind of thing. So I had to take advantage of the fact that the necromorphs don't come after you. At least in this particular spot in the game, in some other ones they do come after you through the door, but in this one they back off, turn around, and go back. I also learned through trial and error, basically, that if I shoot these enemies while they're in retreat, they take no damage. I can't freeze them using my I can't remember the name of the beam, but my freeze beam, for lack of a better word. I can't make them stay in place and take them out. I have to kind of poke my head in, open the door, poke my head in, you know, walk to the trigger spot, shoot a few dudes, back off, and wait for everybody to clear out and come back in again. Grab the, use my It's sort of similar to the gravity gun, I guess, in Half-Life. You can grab objects and pull them toward you and throw them. But you can grab the enemy, the necromorph body that's on the ground, bring it back, stomp on it, get the ammo, and keep adding to my ammo. Because if you remember, I was complaining that I had very little ammo going into this spot, and it was incredibly frustrating that I just couldn't do what I wanted to do. So I was placing grenades and bombs all around, and trying to, I walk two steps, put down a mine in front of me, behind me, and walk two more steps, waiting for the enemies to pop out, just to keep myself covered in front and back, because they were coming at me in such frequency. So that part of it is kind of part of the game, survival horror, I guess. But using the door to my advantage, and you know, just watching how the characters, the enemies reacted to me, it really pulled me out of the whole game experience. And it's not like, if it was a real scenario, let's say, where I had zombies attacking me, they wouldn't give a damn that I had closed the door, or if I had stepped 2 feet back from the doorway and turned around and walked away. Oh, well, he's gone. Oh, well, fuck it. You know, better go back to this vent and hang out for a while. But I don't know. I got through it, which was a big relief. And now I'm into the final chapter of the game, where I seem to be also faced with, oh, one thing that happened. In between that scene and the final chapter, I come across a new type of necromorph that doesn't run away. Or at least, it's a regenerating necromorph. So you shoot off its head, you shoot off its arms and legs, and it falls into a little husk on the ground. And it doesn't matter how many times you stomp on it, it's going to start regenerating its limbs and come back up and start chasing you again. So you're on for the rest of the chapter, you're therefore on the run from this necromorph that's following you through every room, you know, slowly walking toward you and going to grab you and attack you if it gets too close. So once I passed that room of doom that I hated, I loaded up on ammo and ran into this next part, and I wasted so much ammo on this guy to keep him down, because I didn't get it at first that he was simply regenerating and I had no other choice but to run. I pretty well blew almost all my ammo I had just spent a fortune on, got to the next checkpoint before going to the final chapter, and so now I have very little ammo all over again, about to walk into a place where I had to deal with even more enemies, and so I'm not sure how the hell I'm supposed to survive this one, but I guess I'll have to try to figure it out for next week. And really, Dead Space 2 is all I've played.
You know, the when the necromorphs were pulling out and you could back off,
mm-hmm.
I call it a trigger point.
And it is. Totally a trigger point.
Where you learn to deal with those as an RPGs. Because, like, a lot of times when you're facing, especially in MMOs, where you're facing, like, four or five enemies that are going to just stomp a mud hole in your ass,
mm-hmm.
if you're by yourself, you have to draw them away one at a time. And yeah. So you learn to, like, creep just close enough to pull one to you,
mm-hmm.
kill it, get the, you know, it's the whittled down approach, and it's something that I think it's probably partially why people like Pat and Glaze get turned off to RPGs, because it's something you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And you just learn to, but it can be used to your advantage in other games. Part of the reason I got through COD, the original Modern Warfare, so far on Veteran, when stuff like that usually just pisses me off, it's because I learned to use those trigger points to, like, just yep. draw out a couple enemies and kill them, run on. You know, in FPSs, they don't run back, they just mob you eventually. But
it's funny you say that, because I made the same argument at work today, and my friend Brett, he said, you know, that's how you play the game, right? You know, he used the Call of Duty as an example, almost exactly the same way. He said, you know, you wait for the trigger points, and if they fall back or whatever, you run up behind them and shoot them in the back of the head, because they're hiding behind the cover anyway. You know exactly where they're going to be every time. And, you know, sometimes that's fine, and sometimes it's how you play the game. But with Dead Space 2, it's kind of been the kind of game where that didn't happen for the entire... I mean, there's always trigger points, sure, but, like, it's all about mood and atmosphere rather than just purely the action. And it felt like it took me out of it.
Yeah, that's understandable. I mean, and I'll say it again in what I've been playing. With MMOs especially, but a lot of RPGs, I attempt to break the game. But I don't mean hack or cheat or anything stupid like that. I mean find a way to defeat whatever enemy I'm given using the game to my advantage. You know, find places to get things to use, methods to run away from them or keep them a far enough distance away from you, especially if you play with range classes in any kind of RPG. You know, you got to kind of learn to almost break the game, meaning, you know, developers never could have thought of you hopping up on two rocks that the damn monster couldn't get to. You know, and does it take you out of the atmosphere? Yeah, a little bit, but at times it's just a point of getting past whatever the hell you were trying to get past.
It's a means to an end.
Yeah.
To move forward in the game, and I get that, but it's, you know, it's just too bad.
It is. Especially with a game like that. I think it would probably irritate me more, too, because when you're in survival horror, getting snapped out of being scared, you know, crapless, mm-hmm. is not a fun thing, because then it does pierce your disbelief, and you're like, oh god, it's a video game again. I was doing that to myself in Amnesia: The Dark Descent, and when the game again settles down, I seriously need to play that game again, because I know it'll eventually scare me, but the first few little bits weren't, they were just making me laugh is all it was doing. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week?
Well, as usual, I haven't gotten my hands on much this week, but I have been playing some more Rock Band, and I'm getting pretty efficient with the drums. I sucked really hard with the drums less than 2 months ago, and now I'm pretty confidently can do any song on hard. I'm working my way up to expert, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. Also, this weekend, while we're playing Rock Band, me and my friend really got into one specific song. We must have replayed it at least 30 times almost in a row one night, and that is Every Rose Has Its Thorn by Poison, which is probably the gayest song you could ever play with someone of the same sex.
Ease up on Poison to a certain extent. Kidding. I'm kidding.
It's just the perfect song to sing, though. It's so fun to play on Rock Band. The drums make perfect sense. The guitar is great. The bass is great. Singing is great. I mean, the whole song is just like, you want to sing it again after you're done singing it. So it's gotten to the point where we're practicing like dance moves along with it. Like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever done, but the song is just too good not to stop doing it.
Chris, so, what was it you said last week?
Yeah, this isn't helping.
Do your parents know? Isn't that what you said last week?
Yeah. Have you told your parents yet?
That's what. Yeah, you're right, Glaze. I neither know nor care, but you're really not helping yourself. You're actually. I can see that, though. I mean, it doesn't matter what song it is or what era it's from, but I could see that with Rock Band, where you get really hooked into one and just keep doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't really had that happen yet with a song. Usually it's like, okay, that was a fun song, let's go on to the next one. But this time I was like, I want to do that again, and then I want to do it again. And then it was like 5 hours later, and it's like, why are we still doing this?
It becomes more ludicrous when it's some songs that, you know, were slightly cheesy for their time and are really kind of cheesy today. Was that all you played?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, we're
also bad saying that, but
the audience is going to want to lynch us here. November needs to get, well, actually, fear not, audience. I may be getting a game next week. I'm kind of waiting to see what the reviews are, but there's a game calling my name, and I think it's going to be inevitable. Chris, are you still in the middle of the glut you were in last week? Anything new to report?
No, well, for the past 3 or 4 days solid, I've been playing Fear 3, and it's so fucking good. It's the best firefights I've ever played in a game, easily. I found myself like dying on purpose just before it saves, just so I can replay a little bit again, and I can't remember the last time I played down a game. But I finished it yesterday, which I'm gutted about. And the only other thing I've been playing really is Crash Bandicoot 3 on the PS Vita. I got stuck with it for ages on a boss, but I conquered him yesterday, so I'm going to continue with that, I think. And that's what I'll be playing next week and the week after, because it's fucking hard.
The Crash Bandicoot games were already, or were always kind of hard.
Yeah, they're so, really good, though. Like, they stand the test of time really well.
You know what's funny? I never played Fear 1, played the demo for Fear 2, and was really underwhelmed by it, so I never played it. And I played the demo for 3, and I liked it, but it's just one of those series that I just... It was real miss for me, but you're about the fifth person I've heard say that the fighting is really intense in 3.
Yeah, it's really good. And that game as well would make an amazing film. It's just got a great storyline.
Do you think you have to have played the first two to enjoy it?
Not really, no. I was playing it, and my wife was sitting next to me, and like she was captivated by it. And she's not really a gamer at all, and she was getting into it, and she was getting scared and stuff. So yeah, you can just pick up and play number 3.
Sweet. I might in the, you know, after a few other games. You know, you never get, once they're out, it sucks because you never get time to get back to certain games. I played Singularity last year, and that was probably one of the most overlooked games of 2011.
Wow, I started playing that last night. What a coincidence.
I think you'll like it. I think you'll like the story. It's by no means the original BioShock, but it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm actually glad I picked it up later, because it didn't look like the multiplayer would be a ton of fun, so I just played it for the single player and had a blast with it. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, like, but after playing Fear and going on to that, it seems a bit tame. But it was only, like, £4 I paid for it, so it's nothing. Good deal.
Well, yeah, you might want to wait a little while after Fear to give for it to get a fair shot. I will be curious to see what you think of it. As for me, I will lead the party of, or I will be the first one that the lit audience wants to kill, because I've only played an MMO and a casual mobile title this week. Honestly and seriously, this is probably going to be the last Guild Wars update, because I finally got a character to level 80. Night before last, and so I feel that I can give an overall view of the game and kind of be done with it, unless I'm doing something spectacular that I think needs to be mentioned to an audience that's generally filled with non-MMO people. I think this has probably been the best MMO experience I've had in the last 5 years. I wouldn't say it's memorable as like the first EverQuest, but that's not really a fair comparison, because MMOs were fairly new then. You know, I mean, you had Ultima Online, some of the other stuff, but I've been really impressed with the way ArenaNet has done this game. I was never bored. I was never like, oh God, I've only got, you know, I've got like 15 levels left to go until I'm 80. I've got blah, 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 blah. I've started a second character that I'll dick around with. I don't know if I'll ever get it up to the highest echelons or not, but the only two things that I would say I have just perpetual gripes about in the entire experience, and you're talking, because I took my time with it because it was a new game. It probably took me, let's see, that damn thing came out like the end of September, or no, not the end of September, the end of August. It probably took me damn near a solid month to get to 80. Now, I could do it faster than that if I wanted to, but I didn't want to. The two bitches. One, damn it, developers, and this is all developers. If you're going to put a concept in the game like vistas, which vistas are these pretty things you look off of to see the map before you and all this, that, and the other thing, and so you got to kind of play hide-and-go-seek, finding the path to the top of them, please, for the love of God, make the geometry either too steep or not too steep. None of this, oh, I might be able to jump up that, and frustrate yourself for 30 minutes because you think that's the path, and then lo and behold, it wasn't. You know, I don't care if stuff's a little too sharp. I mean, it's a video game. Some things have to give. I understand that the game needs its artistic value, and the artistic value of this game is pretty damn good. But if you're going to make something that's kind of a treasure hunt to find your way up, giving some pretty clear cut, no, this path is not for you, you shall not pass, would be a nice idea. I may be alone in that in that line of thinking, because I have been told on numerous occasions that looking up the paths on YouTube is cheating. To each time, or with, and each time I replied with "piss off" or "bite me," because I just don't care. The other thing too with this game, and this is kind of what John was talking about, and why I was talking about trigger points. If you're going to include non-player characters that are supposed to fight at your side in a story where you could be, or in a quest where you could be easily overwhelmed by numerous enemies, please make them consistent. Because a lot of the times the NPCs would fight for you and make great meat shields, and you could do what you needed to do and go on about your way. But there were a lot more times where they didn't, and all of a sudden you're being mobbed by 10 enemies. And when you're certain classes in an MMO, that sucks. So that in a future update being a little more consistent would be nice. But overall, like I said, I have been blown away by how much I've actually stuck with the game and been, you know, putting my time into it. And not wanting to, you know, wander off to something else. Although I did wander off to something else briefly, and this is the casual portion that all the hardcore is going to be teed off about. I downloaded Bad Piggies. Now, if you don't know what Bad Piggies is, it's the sequel or spiritual sequel or whatever the hell you want to call it to Angry Birds by Rovio. I was skeptical, but for 99 cents, I thought, what the hell? I like it. Rovio actually found a way to make a puzzle game that has the appeal of Angry Birds, but is not just Angry Birds with pigs. It's basically a puzzler game. You have to get the pigs from the same pigs from Angry Birds from point A to point B. You have goals to meet, and you have certain things to help you get those pigs from point A to point B. So far, what I've been doing is building them basically little wheeled vehicles with various hilarious ways to motor or to power those vehicles. House fans, billows, soda bottles filled with soda. And so, you know, yes, it's casual. Yes, it's an Angry Birds thing, but I'll give Rovio all the credit in the world. I was expecting to hate it. I'm addicted to the damn thing again. So, you know, good job for them. And at 99 cents, I'm pretty sure that's the price, period. I picked it up. Which one did I put that on? I think I put that on the iPhone, but I can't remember. Oh, no, me. It's probably on both of them. But for 99 cents, I mean, shit. If you liked Angry Birds at all, this is another good time waster. And that's really all I've been playing this week. And John, did you try that out, or did you miss the Angry Birds extravaganza because you were not a smartphone user at that point?
I think there was a bit of that where I wasn't on the train as early as everybody else, but another part of me is kind of resistant to just jump on board without everybody else is doing. You know what I mean?
I would like to say I'm that way, but this is no joke. I couldn't even begin to tell you how many devices and electronics that I have Angry Birds on. And I heard it's coming to 360, and I just, in my head, I had like this conversation with myself where it was like, Bruce, no, you're not buying a damn thing on 360. You have it on both your phones. You have it on your PC. You have it on your laptop. You put it on your mother's Kindle Fire so she could get addicted to it because she wanted to try it out. You know, it's no more. I don't care if the damn thing's only 99 cents on Xbox Live. I'm not buying it again.
To be honest, now that I think about it, I think I do have a copy on my PS3 as part of their it was one of their what's your really cheap games? It's basically like the really simple games for like a buck. And,
right.
I think I got it off that. I think I played it for like an hour and said, yeah, that's enough.
Chris, have you ever actually played the game?
I'm addicted to it, like Angry Birds. I've just picked up Angry Birds Space and you just can't get me off it.
Like, no, then you're gonna like Bad Piggies if you haven't picked it up yet.
I'll buy it as soon as we finish.
That's just it. They hook you because it's like, okay, you know, we bitch piss them on about paying $60 or more for a full AAA game. But you stop and think about it. Like, I thought your comment to Pat was really funny, Chris, about how much space does your iPhone have left because of all the free games that he plays.
Yeah, he's just constantly on it, isn't he?
But it's one of those things that it's fun and addictive, and it's stuff you can play when you're waiting at the doctor's, when you're riding public transportation, when you're doing just about anything, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
short of driving, don't drive and play Angry Birds, kids. Glacinator, you play Angry Birds or have played Angry Birds, haven't you?
Oh yeah, I have Angry Birds on my iPhone, but it's not really my go-to game as much as it may be your guys. I have a lot more fun playing the more intense games like Infinity Blade and Nova 2 and stuff that feels more gaming to me. I mean, Angry Birds and those type of games, those sit-down toilet games, you know, that are really good at playing on the toilet. They're okay sometimes, but I don't find myself gravitating towards those as much as most people do.
He's absolutely right. They are sit-down toilet games. I about dropped my Android in the toilet the other day playing Angry Birds in space, and the damn thing rang while I was playing Angry Birds in space sitting on the can, and it scared me, and I about dropped it in the damn toilet. So I may break myself using it in the bathroom. That would have been an expensive mistake. I had this discussion topic, and it was a discussion topic probably going to only interest me because it was about insane people who raced the level caps in all kinds of games. Like some douchebag did it in Borderlands 2 in like 36 hours. But Namco Bandai saved you all from another one of my less than stellar discussion topics. Well, maybe saved you. We're going to be talking about something visual that I will link in the post. I originally got this at Penny Arcade, and you probably should go check out the Penny Arcade comic because Gabe did a really good job with the art, and I like it. Have you all looked at this? They're redesigning Pac-Man. I apologize, I'm getting ahead of myself. They're redesigning Pac-Man, or they're putting a redesign of Pac-Man up for a vote on their Facebook page, or the Pac-Man Facebook page. Did you all look at it while we were doing various other things? Chris, did you get a chance to look at it?
No, mate, I'm still waiting on my Mac charger, so I'm just restricted to a phone, which I'm using right now.
Oh,
so I
don't wanna... okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's essentially... Glacinator, you're the artist. Give Chris kind of a rundown of how the four of them look compared to... and the audience, actually. A rundown of how they look compared to, say, the Pac-Man we know and love.
I'm trying to open up the survey. I took it, and I can't open it up again. Why can't I open it up?
Oh, crap.
Oh, here it is. Okay, I see it. Well, the first one, it sort of looks like that Sonic game that was, like, 3D, but it was, like, top-down. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, like, totally top-down. It was, like, from, like, a 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. Yeah, it sort
Sonic
of looks
CD.
Like... Yeah, CD. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And the ghosts sort of look like that, too. They had that sort of 3D, but not really 3D look to them. The second one, it looks a lot like... It sort of looks like a Mickey Mouse a little bit, actually. It's really cartoony. It's like Saturday morning cartoon style, which I think is pretty cool. The third one, it's a little bit more spooky, I guess. The ghost looks a little bit more creepy. It's more 2D cartoony rather than 3D cartoony. But the Pac-Man has like he actually has like a legit face with like blue eyes and everything. So I don't really like that. And then the last one, which I think is really cool, is everything has hard edges except for Pac-Man, who's a circle. But the ghosts are all made out of like hard lines. You know, they don't have pupils. It looks really creepy, but it looks really cool at the same time. So I voted for D because that one looks super awesome.
Yeah, so am I. Just because I know it's gonna piss off the Pac-Man nostalgia fans. Because that's what's
Me.
Coming. Well, that's what, I don't know if you quite fall in this category, Chris, because I'm thinking of people who are pissed off that Sonic's legs were like a 16th of an inch shorter than they were in the previous game, and he was a slightly different shade of blue. But that is the one question I can ask you, even if you can't look at it because you're on your phone. Do you have an issue with redesigns, or should things stay the same?
Like, something as iconic as Pac-Man, you cannot change. Like, that age-old pile of bollocks, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Like, as Pac-Man, it's like, you know, it's like throwing a bucket of red paint over my mother and saying, oh, there we are, it's the new My Mother, you know, you're the new one, or whatever.
How am I supposed to argue against that? Your mom. Dude.
That's the only thing I can think of under
what
pressure.
What are you doing to me? My job's like, go, no. And yeah, I can't because there's no, I'm not going to be mean about your mother. All right, moving on. we'll get to you in a second, Glacia. I understand what you mean, though. That is a good. Actually, let's do it this way so I can be me. It'd be like throwing a can of red paint on the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, that's right.
Something
yeah.
of that. Although your mother example is correct.
I don't know why I picked my mother.
It's a good one, though. I'm sitting going, what am I supposed to do with that?
My poor mother, I'm sorry if you're listening to this.
Oh, God. My mother, my mom's actually listened to a couple of these. It terrifies me. No, we don't have to behave. Chris is like, oh, shit. No, she's used to me. John, what do you think? Are you in Chris's camp? Do you have a different take? What's your...
I'm sort of in Chris's camp. The example that I want to use is Superman. Whenever they try to deviate from the classic Superman look too much, it always seems wrong. You know what I mean? Like yeah. It's hard. You know, Superman's the big S emblem on his chest. You know, the blue. You know, when I don't know if you saw when they tried some of the things that they were going to do with, I think it was Tim Burton's Superman or something, and Nicolas Cage was going to play Superman wearing the black costume, and it just looked terrible. And I think you just can't deviate. See, even Spider-Man, to a certain extent, like with the new movie, you know, they changed his costume ever so subtly, but me as a purist, keeps thinking, well, why? What was wrong with his gloves before? You know what I mean? So here in these Pac-Man pictures, it seems like the choice A, the 3D Pac-Man, seems a little closer to, even though it's 3D, it seems a little more traditional, and maybe B as well. D is probably while it's cool, I think it's like a little bit, let's make Pac-Man dark. And why would you want to make Pac-Man dark, really, you know? So I'm kind of leaning toward maybe C to a certain extent, only because it's a little more like Saturday morning cartoony, but maybe a little anime-ish in there. I don't know if you want to go somewhere different with it, but you know, like, it is, D is cool. It's a cool idea, but it's, you know, it makes me just want to sigh, making things that are pure or dark. You know,
I'm getting this sense that it's going to be Glacinator and I versus Chris and John, I think is how this is going to all break out. Chris, were you about to say something? I heard somebody start to speak, and then I...
No, I was just about to tell my cat off, because I've got a bottle of beer like resting on the arm of my chair, and he's just about to jump on there. So.
That's alcohol abuse, cat. Don't do it, man. Glacinator, you and I both voted for D. I will give my probably going to be less than loved opinion here in a second. What's your take on this? Because Pac-Man.
Wow.
He may not. Pac-Man's probably not iconic. Pac-Man may not be iconic for you, maybe. So what's your take on all this, especially as an art student?
I mean... Especially as an art student, I love being able to look at things which are old to me, or, you know, just, I guess rustic is a bad word, but, you know, things that are always a constant, and seeing them totally changed and have a new spin or new light on it, whether that light be super happy or super dark, it doesn't matter to me. I just like seeing things in a different way. And to me, the style in D is such a deviation that I think it would just be cool to see it that way.
By the way, audience, I'm going to throw in a carte blanche apology right now, because I notice on the thing that tomorrow is the last day to vote. So hopefully you'll get a chance to see these and it doesn't disappear. But if it does, my apologies. I'm kind of torn. I mean, I understand the iconic and purest point of view, although I will say to you, John, as much as I love Tim Burton and how weird he is and all the shit he does, he has no business being anywhere near Superman. And I think Tim knows that. Or Mr. Burton. I don't know him on a first name basis. When you change something or you deviate something, it doesn't erase everything that happened prior to that to me. So while I'm gonna say Pac-Man again. What the fuck is wrong with me the last 2 weeks? God. While Pac-Man is extremely iconic and in a major part of my childhood, I don't have such a huge problem with them potentially changing it for, you know, for one game or for one time. Because honestly, even if they go ahead and change it one time, you know the internet. I was just talking about the people that threw a fit over the length of Sonic's legs. You know, I'm not even sure this game's ever going to get off the ground with the way, or, you know, the redesign will ever get off the ground. I struggle with this because, like, you're talking, like, stuff like the Mona Lisa or, you know,
My mother.
Yeah, or, no, yeah, or Chris's mother or, you know, David, some of the sculptures, you know, the Sistine Chapel, whether you like religion or don't. You know, that stuff, obviously, you shouldn't be redesigning every couple hundred years just for shits and giggles. But, so I do have some struggle with this. But video games, it's a one-time thing. It's not like you can't go back and make Pac-Man the way he was. And I'm like Glacinator. As much as I love making fun of the art crowd sometimes, I do kind of like things when they, you know, change really radically. And that number four image is pretty damn awesome as far as radical changes. Because it's, would you say that's almost like 2D flat paper glaze almost?
Yeah, it's like almost cel shaded sort of.
Yeah. I don't know. That's, I'm going to be surprised, or I will be curious, I should say, to see how this all plays out. You know, given what we've seen with, like, Mass Effect 3 this year and other things, the internet has a powerful voice. I'm not always sure the internet's, A, picking the correct fight to wage, and B, they're correct in the first place. But, yeah, I don't know. And, oh, and by the way, don't throw paint on Chris's mother.
That's my job.
Oh... Okay, let's move on. It's Survivor Not G and Friends, and if you thought the space-time continuum thing was weird last week, it's about to get even weirder because Chris, current Chris, is going to answer future Chris's question, so he's actually asking himself an answering question, and I think I gave myself an aneurysm trying to decide how to launch that. Either way, it actually makes it more fun as far as I'm concerned. So take it away, Survivor Not G and Friends.
What's up, WonderPodOnline.com crew? We're still at the pub. Well, we're at another pub. It's been a good binge fest for the last week. Kudos to Chris for picking up the tab.
Yeah, but I'm sure Chris will find a way to make me pay for all this.
You know me too well. So, Andrew, you really don't have any clue why my camera won't record video and only audio at the moment. You didn't use it for that thing. You know the one, you filthy monkey. Sorry, little Diddy. You know I don't mean anything by that.
I've got no idea. And no, that was just a misunderstanding. And entirely consensual. Well... at least on my behalf.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that.
Hey, G, can I ask a question to the podcast this week? I think I've got a good one.
Fire away, man. I'm too messed up to think straight anyways. You guys sure know how to tip them back here.
Sweet. Here goes.
I often look at games or technology that I have now and think, wow, I'd love to have shown this to my 10-year-old self. If you had the opportunity to do this, what game, console, or whatever would you guys take back and show yourself?
Why are you pulling up my arm and pointing at the door, monkey?
Oh, so now you have a new best friend, eh? Diddy, prick.
Are you coming then? Andrew? Survivor Not G?
I think I'm going to pass on this one. I've got some tapes to hide. Nah, I've got an early morning tomorrow, and I've still got to fit in time for a gaming sesh.
Fine. But you know, Chris, the last few times I followed Diddy, it hasn't turned out so well.
You're a bit of a whiner, aren't you?
Yeah. I do that. Alright, Andrew. We'll catch you later.
Sounds good, gentlemen. And gentle monkey.
Survivor Not G, signing off.
Where the hell is Diddy taking us?
Hey, G and the gang. Sounds like things are getting pretty interesting up your way. So let's get to the question, though, at hand. 10-year-old me. Well, 10-year-old me would probably be very deep into Nintendo. And as much as I would like to bring the Wii back, you're back, Chris.
Yeah, I'm back.
Quite an entrance there.
That was a swift piss.
You totally hear the door open and close.
Oh, God. I was trying to be subtle about it, but it's just not working.
It wasn't too bad. All right. So anyway, 10-year-old me would be pretty steeped in Nintendo and games and various products. So I would say I would love to bring back the Wii, but the thing is, 10-year-old me would just go wow at graphics, really, I think. So if I could bring back one of the HD consoles, like my Xbox, and say, look at this shit, the crazy things that you can do, the crazy things you can see, I think my 10-year-old brain would probably melt. One Nintendo product I would bring back would probably be a 3DS, and probably a 3DS XL because it has the big screen, but a 3DS and the show, here's 3D right in the palm of your hand. Like, I think I would just probably lose my mind. What do you think, Craig?
When I was 10 years old, I was playing Pokemon on my Game Boy Color, and the most annoying thing I can remember about having to do that is on car trips, you know, when you'd run out of batteries or when it turns nighttime and there's no backlight on the Game Boy, so you can't play at night. And if you try to play at night, you'd always have to hold up your Game Boy to the back window. If there's a car behind you with headlights on, you could see it. Or you'd have to angle it like underneath the other side window, and every time a street light went by, you could see the screen for like 5 seconds, and you'd do something, and you'd wait for the next street light and do it again. So probably teen-year-old and me would be interested in just how much better handheld gaming is today. And I'd probably just show myself a DS. It doesn't even have to be a 3DS, just a normal DS. Just the fact that it has a backlight and that you can charge it up in the car. All the types of games for it, plus the touchscreen, that would just blow my mind as a kid, for sure.
Hi, Chris. Nice to hear from you, you handsome boy. Like you guys, when I first got the iPhone, I was determined to make a time machine and go back and show myself this, but since the introduction of the PS Vita, that's got to be the one I'd show myself. Like when I was 10, I'm not sure. I think I had a Super Nintendo when I was 10, but going on to the PlayStation 1, but to show myself the PS Vita in all its glory with the recent games and the backwards compatibility with the PS1 games, I think I'd, if I showed my 10-year-old self that, I'd shit out the lung. So that's it.
And it's weird answering this question with future Chris here, but because I'm weird and I loved technology from the time I was little, you know, when we had like, you know, wagons and gramophones, but I didn't.
You cock.
Yeah, I know. Some people think I'm in my 30s. Some think I'm 60. I love doing it. I love screwing with people too. But here's the thing with me. I always wanted to know what was right in front of us, as you know, when like 10-year-old me would want to know just what was coming like in the next 2 to 3 years. But here's the thing. I'm such a lunatic that I bet if I went back in a time machine today, my 10-year-old self would be more interested in how time travel worked than any of the technology that we have today. And that's the thing. I mean, there's a lot of cool things. Any of the current consoles, any of the current handhelds, this gaming beast rig computer that, it's not Alienware, but it does pretty damn well, you know, because any advancements like that. But I could just picture me as a 10-year-old going, yeah, you know, that 360 is really cool. We'll play that a little bit, but can I get in the time machine and go somewhere? I mean, cause that's just kind of the guy I am. But still, it is a very good question, because think about how far we've come from the time you were 10. And it doesn't matter what your current age is, because the advancements in technology, whether gaming, or just in general, have come a long way, a really long way in my case, since we were 10 years old. And so, you know, when asking a question like this, Chris, is the kind of thing that makes you look back in retrospective of how many advancements. I had to admit, as much as I didn't like Apple's Kumbaya, we're a bunch of hipster, arrogant douchebags at times, the original iPhone did floor me. I think I'm like you. If I really had to just pin it down, I would say I'd take like the original iPhone back, because that one kind of blew my doors off. You know, I wasn't really interested in getting it for myself, but just the fact that they'd done it, is pretty amazing. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in 10 years from now? As an extension to your question here, you know? Oh, crap.
Well, at least we know we haven't discovered time travel yet, because I definitely do remember being 10 and myself telling myself something, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. We're pretty sure that time travel, you know, it doesn't exist yet. Oh, God, this is going to make me sound like the wrong kind of nerd, but I've actually read a couple books that deal with physics and how space works, and physicists at this point are pretty convinced time travel is impossible, but I never say never.
So have they never seen Bill and Ted? I'm telling you.
You know what dawned on me about Bill and Ted? They paid an homage to Doctor Who, and I never realized it until like 2 weeks ago.
My God, I never ever noticed that.
About it. They were in a phone box.
Yeah.
It was basically a comic.
That's good.
I wonder how many other people are going to have that moment listening to the show. I saw it on, like it was on cable, satellite, or it was on at a buddy's house. And I've kind of become more of a fan of Doctor Who in the last year or two, and I went, they did it. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but they did kind of basically an homage to Doctor Who. That's really freaking cool.
Never noticed it. Like, good obs.
Just pure luck. Those synapses fired that day. Survivor Not G and the Lloyd Boys, we thank you for the
Lloyd Boys.
And we'll look forward to hearing from you.
It's like an adventure book.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Well, the Lloyd Boys. Got any mysteries need solving?
There's how you and Andrew make a million.
Yeah, exactly.
Or whatever. Euros, whichever you prefer. Write the British Hardy Boys and you're the Lloyd Boys.
The Lloyd Boys.
Make it a little bit more Harry Potter-ish so that all the kiddies today will buy it.
I include my cat. He's Little Boy Lloyd.
Oh, that's right. The only cat I know, I think... No, well, okay. The only cat I personally know of that has a Twitter account, and the only cat I know whose Twitter account I follow.
He hasn't even got thumbs. It's just ridiculous.
He's an impressive cat. Let's move on. The first thing we're going to talk about, and I've decided I'm not going to be myself during this segment, is Cliff Bleszinski, more affectionately known as Cliffy B, is leaving Epic Games after a 20-year stint. And I have to admit, I took a quick alt-tab break out of Guild Wars 2 last night to look at something on Google+, and so I looked at Facebook as well, and our very own Pac-Man, not to be confused with Pac-Man, had put up this story that Cliffy's leaving. I mean, it's the first time Kotaku's been useful to this show in, like, I don't know, almost a year. And I had to admit, I was surprised. I mean, I wasn't totally shocked after I had a little bit more time to think about it. But, Chris, let's start with you. Was this a little surprising to you? Or, you know, was it not? Whatever.
Well, I hadn't really thought about him a lot. It's just, all I knew was that he's a dickhead. But, you know, I think he'll probably end up creating his own company and piss all over Epic. That's the kind of guy he is.
Believe me, I've called him just about everything under the sun, and then some on this show in the over two years we've been doing it. I'm curious what he's going to do. I don't think we'll hear from him for a while. I don't think he's gone away forever and ever, but I think it's going to be a while. He just got married. He's leaving a 20-year commitment with a studio and company that he did a lot of good things with. Whether whatever I think of him personally aside, he did do a lot of pretty amazing stuff with them. So, but yeah, I don't know. Glacinator, were you surprised? Did you care? That's the shitty thing. We don't really have a Gears of War fan here. I guess we need a bat on the show.
Yeah, I guess you could say I was pretty surprised. I mean, what was the next game that they're planning on releasing over there, though?
They have a...
It's a Gears game.
And yeah. I don't remember what fork it's called.
I wonder if maybe he didn't want to make another one or something.
Yeah, I don't... Hold on, typing away. Gears of War Judgment is what it's called.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing a prequel.
Yeah, it's a... Well, of course they're doing a prequel. That's the new It thing to do. George Lucas got away with it, so now everybody else in every entertainment medium known to man is doing it.
It's going to be a game about four pissed off babies.
I would... I'm not sure how much you've dug back, and I know I'm not the only one that did it. I could think of two other people. I'm not sure how much you've dug back through the WonderPod archive, Chris, but there are some early episodes that, while the audio quality isn't the greatest, Pat and I had some pretty good riff sessions on Marcus and Dom's man love for each other.
Yeah.
And where that possibly could have gone. So you saying four angry babies, picturing those two as babies, just had me cracking up.
Oh.
I wish they'd do that in a prequel, like them as kids.
Yeah, as kids.
Just put them in the same setting, but them as kids. You know, like he's got a chainsaw gun and he's sawing enemies in half, because I can't remember what the enemies are called. Necromorphs is the only thing that came up to my head, which is wrong. Anyways, you know, and go from there. So
just imagine them in school, like a picture. I'm gonna color the fuck out of you.
John, what are your thoughts on Cliffy's announcement? And so on.
A lollipop, nice.
Nice.
Cliffy's departure didn't surprise. Well, sorry, it did surprise me in that he's definitely been the face of Epic. It kind of reminded me of when Peter Molyneux left Lionhead there pretty recently. Like, you kind of associate that company with that guy, and kind of wonder why they wouldn't want to keep on making money at what they're currently doing. But I mean, if he's really going to go and make, you know, hopefully a new project that's going to, you know, take the world by storm, you know, more power to him, as long as he keeps his ego in check. But that's kind of hard to say about Cliffy sometimes.
It's from the early days of me actually paying fairly hardcore attention to gaming news, let's say like 06, 07, to now. It's toned down a lot, so I will give him that. But there are a lot of times where I think Chris is a dickhead, and that is pretty fitting. But yeah, I hope he actually does something different. You know, I mean, that's the thing. If you left Epic, why not do something that really strikes your fancy?
Handcrafts.
Yeah. Crochet. Crochet Gears of War. Wait a minute. We had Kirby. We had Yarn Kirby. Why not Yarn Gears of War?
Exactly.
Flamethrower, you win the whole game. If you find the epic flamethrower, you win the whole game. You guys just set the whole thing on fire. I didn't intend to talk a ton about this. It was just one of those things of, I know we're not the most up-to-date podcast that talks about all the hot trends and stuff. I kind of do that on purpose. But Cliffy leaving Epic was pretty... It was something that's like, well, I could leave that out, but probably better not. Let's move on, and this one requires me, Glacinator may hate me after we're done with this one. This one requires me to give you a set of quotes, and I'm fully aware, audience members who pay attention to this kind of thing, that I am, yes, doing a story that it contains mostly tweets and nothing else, and I'm also aware that we made fun of that several months back. I'm a hypocrite, so what? So is everybody else in this bloody industry. Outspoken indie success Marcus Notch person tweeted to Microsoft that he'd rather not put his phenomenally successful sandbox game Minecraft on Windows 8 than support the closed platform. Got an email from Microsoft wanting to help certify Minecraft for Win 8. I told them to stop trying to ruin PC as an open platform. I'd rather have Minecraft not run on Win 8 at all than play along. Maybe we can convince a few other people not to do it, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing, though. Here's the part that's really important. This wouldn't be the first time he spoke out against Windows 8 in a re-edit AMA thread last month. He stated, I hope we can keep a lot of open and free platforms around. If Microsoft decides to lock down Windows 8, it would be very, very bad for indie games and competition in general. The key word there is decides, which speaks to me that he has no clue whether they're going to or not, for sure. Here's the thing. Okay, you have his argument that they want to certify his game to take away his control of it, sell it in their Windows 8 App Store, this, that, and the other thing. Here's my counter-argument, partly because I'm a dick and partly because it kind of makes sense to me, the way Windows does things, or Microsoft does things. That game, Minecraft, is no longer an indie sandbox darling. It has gone mainstream. It has basically taken over the world in a lot of ways. The 360 version just crossed 4 million units downloaded. I don't even know anymore how many units it's moved PC. The counter argument to this is that Microsoft certifies all AAA titles, all big time games. They've done it since, like, I think Windows 98 or maybe 2000. It's a pretty standard process. They do it with 360 games. So my counter-argument is that this isn't so much Microsoft trying to lock down Minecraft and its potential to be on an open platform. It's more of certifying it so that if they ever want to sell a box copy or give them more options to sell at retail, which I don't think Mojang is against, because there's another story floating around the internet that Mojang is now going to start selling prepaid copies or prepaid cards that you can buy Minecraft with. You basically get a code, put it into the thing, and you're done. For those of you that don't like to buy online, and those people do exist, and that's perfectly understandable. So it's obvious Mojang's not against retail, or there's two stories going on here. So my question to you, gentlemen, and we're just going to start with you, Glacinator. Which argument do you favor more? Answer honestly. I don't give a shit if I'm the host of the show. I don't give a shit what, you know, what, which way you decide to go. Who's got the more convincing argument? Me or the indie sensation who's got more money than I ever will have?
I'm actually going to side with you, Bruce. And that
that is not coerced. See, this is the thing. I think people think I terrify you guys.
No. I'm actually surprised by that, though. Because what you said actually didn't make a lot of sense. I was going to disagree with you, but you had some valid points, though.
I have no idea. That should also be stated up front. Just like I think Notch and some of these other guys whining about 8 have no concrete evidence it's going to be locked down like Mac. I have no clue either if that's Microsoft's intentions. It's just, I thought it'd be a fun one to kick around. I don't think there's really a right or wrong answer.
I mean, but about Mac, even though it is locked down on Mac, I play Minecraft on Mac. It's probably one of the best-selling games for Mac, you know? So just because the system is closed doesn't mean it's not going to work, you know?
I think this is more about indie. Well, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to shut up because I do like Minecraft. I like Mojang. I'm just going to self-censor right there. John.
Notch may just be a little too happy with his new office right now. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen have you seen the pictures of it?
Which is nicer than the fucking house I live in. Your indie reputation does not hold up well with me when your office is like 10 times nicer than my house. Sorry, I know. I mean, I'm pretty sure Jonathan Blow doesn't live in a fucking shack either, but you're sending mixed messages, man. And the thing is, I think his heart's in the right place, but you need a PR person. You really do. John, whose argument is more convincing? Answer honestly. I don't care who you side with.
I like what you said about how... Well, up front, I have to say that I'm not really familiar with the Microsoft certification process and what all that means and stuff. It's kind of the thing as a pseudo PC gamer that I've not been familiar with anyway. But if going by what you said, and you know, it's this kind of like standard practice to be certified to make things easier. I mean, and if you sold that many copies, it's like, well, Minecraft, you've made it. you're a juggernaut, and you're not an indie anymore. You're absolutely right in that regard. Like, you know, loosen up, go for the ride. You know, but as far as other indie developers, you know, if it is a thing that's real, I mean, I couldn't tell you. I don't know anything about it. But if it's a real thing, a possibility, and it keeps people from being able to get their games out in people's hands, which is what it's all about, right? If, you know, sure, I can see why that would be a problem. But, you know, I don't think, you know, you bite the hand that feeds you a little bit, you know?
There's so much speculation, it's almost just making me want to buy an upgrade copy from Windows 7 to Windows 8 just to see what it's like, because I have Windows 7, a purchased copy. And if it sucks, go back to Windows 7. It really is, because the upgrade prices actually aren't that bad. Chris, where do you fall in this argument? I know you're a Mac user like Glacinator, so you kind of know a little something about closed systems as compared to open.
Well, good on him for sticking up for himself and indie gaming or whatever, but, you know, it's the way things are going. I'm with John, really. I'm not that familiar with all the certification bollocks, but, you know, it's the way things are going. You go with the times, like, and I think he's just having a bit of a wobbly. So, Bruce, I think you're the man.
Well, I don't... Thank you. I honestly do. I love these kinds of topics because it just gives you a different viewpoint. It doesn't necessarily need to be mine. And I'm serious. In my small moments or in my quiet moments, I sincerely worry that whatever audience we do have thinks, oh, God, that McGee, he must just really browbeat them motherfuckers because they never disagree with him.
So, he's bigger than us.
Yeah, nice. But anyways, because, I mean, the certification for Micro, this story was a little misleading to me and other reports I saw of it. I didn't find anything better, so I went with what I had. Because Microsoft certification for games has happened with, you know, box physical copies forever. And I'm sure if you sell it on their whatever sad, pathetic digital store they have now with Windows 7, games for Windows Live or whatever it is, I'm sure the same thing happens. I think, like I said, his heart's in the right place as far as for trying to keep platforms open. But I think Chris actually nailed it on the head perfectly, and that's kind of the opposite of where systems are going. You know, I mean, Linux is always going to be open. That's been their mantra since day one. But it's hard not to want to emulate Apple when how well their computers and other things have done. You know, so I don't know. It'll be interesting to see once Windows 8 is out and it gets some people actually using it. We'll have to see if Notch is correct, or if Microsoft was just trying to be nice, or who knows. I just wanted to give you an opposing or a counter argument. It's not even opposing. If Notch is right, I'll come right on his show and say, hey, guess what? He knew what he was talking about. I was full of shit. What else is new? This next bit, this is just more to annoy Pat. So it's really my reasons for doing this. It comes to us from computerandvideogames.com. Headline is Free Radical was working on Time Splitters 2 HD, which means an HD remake. Plus, Rare almost got Killer Instinct HD off the ground. And so now I have annoyed two people. I've annoyed Pat, man, and I've also annoyed the people who have the Time Splitters 4 Facebook page. Because Rare was attempting to get Killer Instinct off the ground. Pat loves that game. He has every right to. It's one of the few fighting games I love. So that, I mean, really, it was just me reading a headline, but I can really quickly ask, we'll start with you, Glacinator. Did you play any of the Time Splitters or Killer Instinct or any of that?
No.
What
I did take away from the article, though, is that they're going to have a Donkey Kong Racing game for the GameCube, and that would have been awesome.
I was wondering if somebody was going to pick up on that, because that really wasn't, my focus was torturing Pat, because he tortures me and private messages on Facebook, so I get even when and where I can, because he loves Killer Instinct. But yeah, would you want to see that, Glacinator? Would you want to see it come out with like different characters as an Xbox, like an XBLA downloadable title, or would you be too afraid it'd be like Duke Nukem Forever?
I think they could pull it off. It'd be sort of like Sonic Racing, I guess.
Yeah, there's another one of those coming out. I think that's going to get my money, especially if good old Papa Patman's around for us to scream at losing to a banana, which happened a lot in the last one. John. No, there was. There's a banana car in the original Sonic All-Stars Racing, Chris.
It's really, yeah.
The cheating bastard. I mean, they swiped the Nintendo, but the cheating bastard would throw banana peels at you, and you couldn't get by him.
Motherfucker.
Exactly. John, did you play either the Time Splitters or Killer Instinct?
I didn't play Time Splitters, but I did play Killer Instinct a bit back in the day. And not a lot, because I wasn't a big fighting game guy, but it was cool and different for the time, definitely. I don't have much of an opinion, because I honestly didn't play it that much, but it seemed cool. I like retro HD upgrades, you know, as long as they're done well and make sense. And, yeah, why not?
Chris, did you play any of them?
I'm a massive fan of Time Splitters.
I thought that might be the case.
Yeah. I think me and Pat to get on like a house on fire with these games. You know, the side games on the first Time Splitters are brilliant. Just some like straight out the box random stuff. You could like kill 100 ducks within a certain time limit. And I just love that kind of thing. And, you know, I think I'll do well if I come back. But knowing Microsoft and Sony, they'd add some bullshit to it with a Kinect and Move and like dress it up a bit. But I think he'll do well if he came back. It's a pity.
Yeah, I'm all for new technology, and I'm not against the motion controller tech, whether it's Move or no controller with Kinect. But not every game that you bring back and throw an HD skin on needs it. You know, like Beyond Good and Evil, the downloadable title, I think it was on PSN and XBLA, was great just as it was. And it just had a shiny new paint job. It's like taking your car, giving it a shiny new paint job, and but the car was perfectly fine before that. Believe it or not, and I've stated God knows how many times I've rambled on the show about how bad I suck at fighting games, but I actually really love Killer Instinct and played it as often as I could. I didn't obviously own consoles because I was a PC guy, but I knew plenty of people with consoles and things. And that's I've seen Time Splitters, and I should probably finagle some way to play them. I haven't, because they have that kind of, like you're talking about, Chris, shoot 100 ducks, and anything with homicidal monkeys in it, it's got to be a good thing. you know, so I think I probably should dig up a way to play those. And I'd be all on board for an HD remake, because I'd heard of Beyond Good and Evil, never played it, and I haven't beat it yet. On another Pile of Shame article, but I really enjoyed what I've played of it so far on XBLA. So that's a good way for people like me who grew up on PC to be able to play some of these games that are considered cult classics or whatever. Okay, I want you guys to answer me a question. And this has to do with analysts. None of the ones I've taken away their names are the ones I usually bitch at. This is just a really simple question, and it makes no sense to me. Maybe you could explain it to me in a way that would make sense. Angry Birds, in its various forms, made $100 million. It's got 200 million users or something like that. I forget. I just glanced at the story here. Yet mobile gaming analysts say because Rovio released two non-casual titles that went to number one on iTunes but didn't stay there for years on end, that they really need a breakout success with Bad Piggies to stay relevant. They made $100 million on Angry Birds, and that's not even talking about whatever chunk they get for merchandising, because you know those licensing fees were not cheap. So can any of you explain to me or make sense of what these analysts are yammering about, because I think Rovio's going to be okay if Bad Piggies doesn't do well. Please, anybody, John, you got anything?
I don't know whether it has to do with that they think that Rovio will be like a one-hit wonder kind of thing. You know, it was Angry Birds their first game?
I'm not real familiar with the history of the studio. Again, another Scandinavian studio, if I remember correctly. The Scandinavians are taking over. Run, Silicon Valley.
I don't know whether Momentum as a game developer is important. You know, to keep yourself. You know, using the word relevant is kind of makes me think that. You know, you want to have a good buzz going for your company. I guess is what they're trying to say. So if they can't keep up with what they're putting out, it's just can't keep up with the Angry Birds, is what I should say. You know, does it look stupid? Like after What's the Story, Morning Glory, did anybody care about Oasis a whole lot? You know,
did anybody care? Oh, never mind, I'm not going to make fun of Oasis. One of the brothers might find me and beat the shit out of me.
The Lloyd brothers.
Yeah, you don't want to talk about two. Let's not get sidetracked. Oh my God, those two are the crazy. If Sid Vicious was still alive today, he'd go, "Holy shit, you two are fucking nuts." here's the thing, though: you cannot tell me that a mobile title has the budgeting to make it that a AAA title does. They made $100 million on a mobile game. Okay, but your explanation was pretty good. It does kind of make sense to me. Glacinator, can you make this make sense to me?
I cannot make the numbers that they're throwing out make sense to you, but I can see what they're getting at. I mean, definitely for me, mobile games are definitely a huge hit and miss in terms of games that I like and don't like. And so I can see how they're trying to say that, you know, Angry Birds, the game itself, may have just been, you know, the game, you know, people is, you get an iPhone, what game did you just download? Hey, oh, Angry Birds. And you forget about everything else, you know. People in mobile gaming, people really aren't concerned about the company, you know, it's more just that one single game. And so I can really see how they're trying to get in that it's, you can't really follow up Angry Birds. There's no way you can follow that up. But is that a bad thing? I don't think so. I mean, they're still making a butt ton of money, and that's what matters.
Exactly. Chris, throw your 2 cents on the pile for this. Anything you got?
Yeah, it's pretty much what Glaze said. They set the too high of a standard in the beginning. You know, like you work some, like the age old thing where you work some shitty job, you do a really good job, and they expect better next time. It's just like that. It's just a harsh world. That's what it is.
So it's just easier for the analysts because they can say, well, if this doesn't do well, they'll be forgotten because it's a hit. Yeah. It's a what have you done for me lately society.
Yeah, exactly.
Which,
you got it.
Which really chaps my ass to a certain extent. Well, I can tell you I have my iDevice in front of me and the top 25, Bad Piggies is still number one, followed closely by Rory Harvey's Slender Man. Which I think that indie game I played.
Wait, that's on iPhone?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I said my iDevice. I didn't say Droid.
I'm just surprised that's on there.
What? Rory Harvey Slender Man?
Slenderman? Is that what you said?
Slender Man.
Oh, that said Slender. That's a scary game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, now you can actually shit your pants while you're on the toilet, and I'll go on the toilet.
Well, if you shit your pants on the toilet, your mother hasn't showed you how to take your shit properly.
Isn't the object of the function to shit in the toilet, not in your pants while on the toilet?
You know what I meant.
Hey. There is no mercy now, because first off, Chris is on, and second off, you still can't top 2,626. I am in the Hall of Shame for that one at number one. Even shit your pants while you're on the toilet.
I'm in a rush, goddammit.
I didn't have time.
But you had time to pull out your iPhone and start playing a game.
This game scared me so badly that I damn near had my pants down and it was too late.
I just laid an egg.
Okay. The final little bit of stuff we're going to do tonight. Again, this is kind of like the HD remake story. Derek the Deathfin, the first video game built from papercraft. Now, I'm probably going to link this one on the show post as well, so you'll have to go to wonderpotonline.com to check it out, because there's a video you should probably watch. Essentially, what these guys did was they took sketches, and then they turned them into paper craft, honest-to-God paper craft, and then I'm going to turn it over to Glazenator to explain to you how they did it from there, because I probably would fuck it up. Glazenator?
Oh, you want me to explain all this?
Well, yeah, I did the easy part. I did the part where they took the sketches and turned it into paper craft, and then...
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, after they actually made real-life 3D models of it, then they just took the samples of these models and imported them directly into the computer, which they made the game from. Which sounds sort of like a convoluted way to do it, but it gave it a texture sort of look that makes it look really cool. That I can't really explain what it looks like, because you just got to watch the video. It's super awesome, though.
I will link this Gamma Sutra article, and I do implore you or I'm begging you to watch the article, especially this is right now. It's only coming out on the PS3 on PSN. So if you've got a PS3, I seriously would watch this, because I only watched a little bit of the gameplay in prepping for the show. Yeah, prepping. Yeah, we do that. And I would play it for sure if I had a PS3. And we happen to have two PS3 owners here.
One and a half.
Oh, that's right. Damn it! I forgot. Okay, we have a PS3 owner and a Vita owner, and I don't remember if the story said it's coming out for Vita. Or you? Will you be?
I've got a PS3, but I've got the Yellow Light of Death, so...
I forgot that from last week. Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah, so...
If your PS3 was working, does this look like something that you'd be interested in because of the way it looks?
Yeah, definitely. It's got a real, like, you know, what else is like that on the market? It just looks really cool. It's like that stop motion animation thing. It just looks neat.
John. Sorry, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, sorry. I just said I'd buy it.
John, same.
I'm always a fan of things that look and feel different in terms of games, and yeah, definitely has my interest. There's a little bit of a Little Big Planet vibe, because that has a lot of textures in it as well. Like, it's not all paper, but there is a feeling of paper, I guess, in some places. But it looks really cool.
Glazenator, are you going to threaten your roommate with the PS3 with all announcing all of his dirty deepest secrets on Facebook unless he lets you buy this on the PS3.
I mean, I can just give him my, if I really wanted to do it, I could give him my card and have him download it. So if I'm feeling generous one day, I might download it.
So you are interested in playing it? Or are you more interested in how they made it?
Yeah, it'd be more so just to see how the visual style works out in the end than the gameplay itself.
Did they say in the article how many hours these guys took?
I don't even think about it.
It's pretty much masochistic levels, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, because I've done a lot with paper before, and it's such a limited material that you really have to figure out ways to work around how derp it is.
I wonder if in the future, and I know I probably wasn't the nicest answer I ever gave, but we talked about 3D printers in a... I think Uncle G segment here a few months back. I wonder if 3D printers, modeling on a 3D printer and then turning around and you know, sculpting it from there, is that drawing it out too much, or is that something we could see too?
I don't really see why you would want to do that, because for it to print out in 3D, first you have to make it in the computer in 3D.
True.
So you'd be going around in a circle there. With this, it's more origami than a sculpture.
Origami turned into a video game.
Pretty much.
I like the concept, and that's the thing. I mean, I'm never entirely sure what vibe I give off about the indie crowd as a total for myself personally, because I do make fun of some of the more snobbish ones. But anytime somebody tries something new in gaming, and that's the thing that's good about Kickstarter and the indie scene, it's worth a look at, or it's worth us talking about even briefly in my mind, because, you know, that's who knows where this goes from there. To me, it kind of looks like cell shading 2.0 with a lot more work involved. but maybe.
Yeah, I just think if they made the next Wind Waker like this.
Oh, man.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be a console seller.
Yep.
To watch Nintendo buy these guys. I think Chris is right. Did it say in the story where this studio is located? It does. Oh, it's actually, yeah, it's a good thing we're doing this show, because one thing I missed when I was scanning it to decide to do it on a podcast, the damn thing's coming out October 9th.
Oh, wow. That's soon.
That's cool.
Yeah. I didn't see that the first time I looked at the story. I saw the banner with the little shark origami or papercraft. And I like the way the shark looked. He looked goofy. I thought, I'm going to read this story. Because I don't know how familiar everybody is with an RSS reader, but a lot of times images don't come up. You just get headlines. But for whatever reason, that image came up with the headline. And so I'm like, that looks kind of weird. Click. And then once I watched most of the video, I'm like, whoa.
What's going on, you Swedish?
Yeah. Are you saying that they might have been might have been inspired by certain substances that may or may not be legal?
It's the Swedish air, I'm sure. There's something in the water in Sweden. It's just crazy.
But for the most part, crazy in a good way.
Yeah, absolutely. In the best way possible. But, you know, they've got a certain humor to them. They're Swedish. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I don't even know if they are Swedish. Like, just...
Well, for us American idiots, the Muppets didn't help with us getting to know the Swedish, really, because of the Swedish chef.
Oh, yeah, of course. And the Canadians affected the outlook on Swedish by Tom Green at all? Like, you had a thing about Swedish, didn't you? Like, have you seen that, John?
Yeah.
No.
I think Tom Green's the king of Canada.
Oh, Tom, yeah. I've seen old Tom Green.
Yeah, he's done a lot of Swedish stuff or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we must be talking about really old Tom Green because...
Yeah, it is really old.
Wait a minute, am I thinking of the right guy?
He's the guy who humped a moose, a dead moose.
Yeah, I can't stand him. I don't find him in the least bit funny at all, really. There's a few things he's done that were okay, but he kind of, I mean, in one way the hump the dead moose thing was funny, and the other way it was kind of like, what in the hell is wrong with you? He's pretty, yeah, he's not for me. I'm gonna use my standard cover up argument. He's not for me. I didn't know he was Canadian.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Yep. He's the king of Canada.
God help you if he does become the king of Canada. That lazy eyed, goofy looking bastard. I think on that note, I'll give you a few ways you can get the show in contact, and then we'll get the hell out of here before. Let's see, we pissed off the Swedish, Canada, even though we've got a Canadian on the show, indie crowd. Yeah, I think we're pretty much on our limit for potentially pissing people off. You can get the show on iTunes. Give us a rating, give us a ranking. Just freaking download the damn thing. I don't care. If you don't like iTunes, which we know people don't, archive.org is where I host this. If you don't know what archive.org is or too lazy to maybe search for it, which I'm not picking on you. I am that lazy. We have a Facebook page that we talked about earlier in the show. It's Waterpod Online. I always post the links to the audio and other things on the Facebook page for this podcast. We have a website. It's called waterpodonline.com. All of us sitting here tonight do various and sundry things for it at times when we're not being lazy bastards or busy in school. Chris does Fanish videos, which are really, really cool. And I applaud him to the end of time for not being willing to climb a tree, because who wants to do that? Glacinator does different things. He does playthrough videos. He posts some of his art after we kind of twist his arm to do it. John does some movie review stuff and other things. I just do crap. So you can go to waterpodonline.com. But I also, in addition to doing crap, I post the podcast there. So you can get all these links I've talked about, plus an embedded player. And if you order now, see, this is what this feels like. It feels like I'm selling like the magic mop or something on late night infomercials. Sorry.
But wait, there's more.
Exactly. If you order now, we'll send you free of charge a Gun Sage. He's not housebroken, but we'll send him to you. Anyway. We have YouTube channels. Chris has a YouTube channel. Everybody's got a YouTube channel, including the WonderPod Online YouTube channel. And that's it. We also have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com, wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter at WonderPodOnline. Or you can follow me on Twitter, which I did pick up a follower this week, I think from the show. Actually, I think from Chris being on the show, at O-R-I-G-I-M. Or you can follow John on Twitter.
At John Keogh, J-O-N-K-E-H-O-E.
You can't follow Chris on Twitter because he hates you. So until episode 131, I am Bruce McGee. I'm out of here to apologize to the Swedes. See ya.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot for having me. Goodbye.
See you later, guys. I won't be here next week because I'm off to Disney World to go hang out with Donald Duck.
With another dude.
With five other dudes in one chair.
Tell your parents!
Is there anything? We could have an intervention right now at the table. Okay, I'll stop the recording.
Get him on.